sleep pods that have been installed by the Sydney Swans. They're futuristic style pods. You climb in, you pull the lid off, and you sit in there for, we're told, something like 20 minutes. What's interesting about it is apparently the 20-minute period, because they're saying if you sleep longer than 20 minutes when you have your daytime siesta, that it's going to affect your nighttime sleep.
So is that official confirmation of the existence of the Nana Nap?
I think so. I think so. The idea that you can have that short little sleep during the day, but it can't be much longer than half an hour. Well, that's what I've always thought.
And you and I have been practicing this, experiment, haven't we, for the last 14 months or
because,
so?
Because we get up at ridiculous hours, as so many of our listeners do, you find yourself maybe trying to have a little sleep during the day. Now, if you have a couple of hours during the day, you can find yourself jet-lagged. You have a half-hour sleep. You find yourself just getting refreshed. So this would seem to have been reinforced by this story today, where these sleep pods have been put into the SCG change rooms for the Sydney Swans. So what is the truth here? Should we be going down the path of places like Italy and Spain, where they have the afternoon siesta, where everything shuts down?
Yes, please.
Associate Professor Delwyn Bartlett is a sleep psychologist from the Wilcock Institute of Medical Research, and she's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so you think it's a good idea?
Look, it is a very good idea. The 10-minute nap, where they've had participants into a sleep lab and they've given them 10-minute naps, 20-minute naps and 30-minute naps, and then test them afterwards in terms of performance, found that the 10-minute nap was actually the most effective.
10 minutes?
But that's 10 minutes of sleep. So we often have 20 minutes away from our work area, but often it takes us 50% of the time to go to sleep. So anywhere between about 10 and 20 minutes.
Okay, so you then give yourself the 10 minutes, you drift off to sleep, but then you have your alarm go off, do you?
Yeah, so you could probably set your sleep time period, which includes sleep and drifting off and just having a little bit of quiet time, for about 20, 25 minutes.
What does that do to the body, 10 minutes or 20 minutes of sleep? Is it sort of repairing our control centre? What's it doing?
No, it's just actually giving us time out. So basically during that sort of a period of time, you would only stay in relatively light sleep of what we call N2 or stage 2. Whereas if you have a nap of longer than about 25 to 35 minutes, you can start to go into slow wave sleep or deep sleep. And when you wake from that, you feel as though your brain is completely woolly and you desperately want to go back to sleep. And if you have that, it takes you a long time to wake up properly after it.
Why are some people, Delwyn, capable of falling to sleep very quickly and others take a long time?
Probably the ones who take a longer time are scanning themselves and their environment for reasons for not sleeping. Whereas those individuals can just say, like you do, you get up very early, if I could just close my eyes and change my body position for just a short time, it's wonderful. And, you know, it's also family things. I was the youngest in the family and my mother was a great, as you would call, nano-napper. And I can do it. And so as a little child, I can remember her saying, if I'm not awake in 10 minutes, wake me. But I very rarely remember waking her.
Really?
She just wake up. All right.
I found the only method that works for me is when I ring John at home and I get him to talk to me about his football club. I'm asleep just straight away when he goes into one of his long stories.
That's wonderful.
Hilarious. Now, melatonin. Say you take melatonin because that's what helps you go to sleep, isn't it? Melatonin.
Look, melatonin. It's a hormone that's secreted by the pineal gland.
It's yes.
In response to darkness, and what it does is that it, most importantly, lowers your body temperature. So it's responsible for dropping your body temperature by in terms of, it's 40% of your body temperature drop is due to melatonin. And melatonin also has a slight hypnotic effect. But you don't need to take melatonin unless your sleep-wake cycle is out of synchronization or haven't been able to sort of tune into the sleepy component.
But if you haven't, but it is an effective mechanism though, if you need it.
Look, we don't have...
He's looking for an endorsement here, Delwyn.
Well, I know he is, but in terms of research, we've got a slow-release melatonin that's on the market. But the two studies that have been done with that only have questionnaire data in over 55-year-olds. So I always have concerns when people take up something and it's an all-or-nothing application.
All right. Delwyn Bartlett, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Associate Professor Delwyn Bartlett, do you know anyone that can just stick their head down and go to sleep for, say, 20 minutes and then wake up, take those little naps during the day? Maybe someone at your workplace, someone that gets under the desk at work or maybe on the work site?
I've never had a problem at work, just being able to get those 10 minutes. Unfortunately, it's always happened in front of the boss.